Hello, and welcome to the Let's Talk Attachments podcast. My name is Jessica Da Silva, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and an attachment coach, helping adults end their unhealthy dating patterns and create stronger, secure relationships. Attachment theory gives us insight into how we currently experience love through understanding our earlier attachment dynamics. I created this podcast as a safe space to share stories and insights on different aspects of attachment so that you can better understand how this manifests in your own life. My only request is that you listen with an open heart and an open mind. So without further ado, let's get into it. We hear it everywhere. Communication is key in relationships. And after working with countless of couples over the years, communication does play a huge role in creating harmonious relationships. However, it goes much deeper than communication, because communication, essentially what it's doing is it's meeting fundamental emotional needs that all of us humans have. And in today's podcast episode, I'm going to share briefly what these emotional needs are, as well as helpful tips on how to communicate effectively to create emotional intimacy, which is the very thing we all innately desire. So what I like to tell my clients when we are talking about communication is that essentially you are learning how to speak a different language. Our communication patterns are very much ingrained in how we interact with those around us, right? Especially with those we love. So when you're changing your communication in order to better help others understand you, you are changing your language, you're changing your tone, you're changing your wording, and your overall approach. So please be patient and compassionate with yourself during this process, as it'll take time to become fluent in speaking someone else's language. Attachment science is amazing because it gives us a shortcut into understanding what each attachment style needs to feel safe and secure in a relationship. So I'm excited to share some of these helpful insights with you today on this podcast episode. Welcome back. So in this week's podcast episode, I am going to share helpful tips on how to communicate more effectively with the anxious attachment style specifically. What I find when working with anxious attachment styles is that they are often very connected to their feelings and needs, right? Like they have an idea of what that feels like, what it is that they're wanting. However, they have a very hard time accepting that their feelings and needs are valid because of so much invalidation that they experienced in their earlier relationship dynamics. So this is why they can be very reactive in their communication patterns, because they have a really hard time owning up to their feelings and needs, which makes it really hard, right, to communicate proactively. Anxious attachments also have a big tendency of suppressing their feelings and needs in fear of rejection or pushing those they love away. They also often operate from the beliefs that, you know, my needs are too much, my needs aren't important, right? It's more important to meet the needs of others. It's more important to prioritize the needs of others, right? So they can feel very insignificant with their own feelings and needs. And when they have been passive, right? When they've been passive for too long, they can often express their needs with contempt or aggression, which is why they see themselves as being over emotional. When really it's because they haven't been meeting their emotional needs. Remember, we're only as needy as our unmet needs. So when you can identify your needs and feel supported in meeting these needs, you'll notice your triggers and your heightened emotions subside as a result. Generally speaking, anxious attachments tend to have a very strong need for attention, active listening, communication, predictability, consistency, presence, attunement, deeper emotional connection, right? They're often able to give these things, they're often able to give these needs or extend these needs to other people. But when it comes to receiving these needs, there's a disconnect there, okay? They're often, these needs often aren't being met for them. So when they are having a difficult time with communication, you can kind of narrow down, you know, what they're needing to one of these core needs. So helping them identify what they're needing can be really helpful for both you and them. If you're in a relationship with an anxious attachment, to whatever capacity, maybe they're a friend or a parent or a sister or a lover, right? This really applies to like any relationship that you have. You know, if they identify with the anxious attachment style, you can use these tips with them. But I guess how I'm talking about this would be as if it is a partner, but remember you can really use these tips to communicate with any anxious attachment style. So it's important to understand their difficulties with communication again, right? So something that Dr. Anita Naikunli said, which she's come on the podcast to talk about her book on attachment called The Four Relationship Styles, she talks about the acronym Q-tip, quit taking it personally. As the person on the other end, when we can remove the personalization we experience when interacting with other people, meaning, you know, what you're making it mean about you, you can see the person and the situation for what it is. It's not gonna feel so threatening when you can remove the personalization. It's also gonna help you better support your loved one and just be more present with them. And the reason why I bring this up is because usually with my anxious and avoidant couples, the avoidant partner notices their anxious partner upset, right? They can often pick up on these subtle cues that their partner is upset, but often what I hear is that they're afraid. They're afraid of approaching their partner. So rather than seeking closeness and offering that support, which of course their partner needs, what they do is that they withdraw. Right? They just avoid the situation entirely. And it's because they are taking their partner's behavior personally before even talking to them about it, right? They're just kind of believing these narratives. They are often making their partner's behavior mean something along the lines of, you know, I did something wrong, they're mad at me, they're going to yell at me, I'm going to piss them off. So all of these are examples of taking the situation personally, which of course hinders our ability to connect and engage and seek closeness to those that we love. So it's really, really important. And I know that I bring this up in almost every episode, but it's so important to challenge your belief systems around love. Really challenge all of your belief systems. We have belief systems for everything in life, but really in regards to this work, right, in regards to attachment work, really challenging your belief systems around love, because it's most likely preventing your ability to really create that intimacy that you're looking for in your relationship. Another tip is to encourage your anxious partner to talk about their feelings and needs. This looks like quite literally asking them, you know, how are you feeling right now and what do you need? How are you feeling right now and what do you need? Asking them how you can support them is one of the most beautiful and healing acts you can do. Again, anxious attachments aren't used to being approached in this way because they've been conditioned to tend to the other, right? It's always about the other person. You know, putting the needs of others first. So tuning into them and really asking questions to listen and encouraging them to explain their experiences can do wonders for their healing and for the relationship as a whole. Also, providing reassurance. Anxious attachments often require a lot of reassurance, and this is because they've experienced so much inconsistency in their past. Their need for reassurance isn't to make your life more difficult. It's really just to soothe their own worries and their own fears. And though it is their responsibility, right? It's their responsibility to learn self-soothing practices and skills to challenge their insecurities and fears, you can absolutely help them co-regulate by providing them with the reassurance they need, such as saying things like, you know, I'm here for you no matter what. You're not alone in this. We'll figure it out together. I understand why you feel this way, and it's okay. I won't abandon you. I'm committed to this relationship. You're enough just as you are. What you'll realize is that the more you can easily provide reassurance to your anxious partner, the less anxious they ultimately become. So these statements, right, these affirmations are very healing for anxious attachments and can really help them cultivate secure attachment style. And this brings me to the importance of setting clear boundaries with anxious attachments and to be consistent with this practice. Anxious attachments often have very loose boundaries due to the codependence and enmeshment they experienced in their earlier relationship dynamics. So they most likely don't believe in boundaries. They don't know what they are. And as a partner, it's important to model healthy boundaries, meaning stating your limitations, right? It's okay to have limitations. Healthy relationships aren't about being perfect and conforming to exactly what our loved one wants from us. We can compromise and make an effort, but we also need to honor ourselves and our feelings and our needs in the process. So some examples for communicating boundaries are, I need some time alone to recharge, but it doesn't mean I don't care about you. It's important for both of us to have some space to maintain our individual well-being. Another one, I understand you want to talk about this now, but I need some time to process my thoughts before discussing it further. Can we revisit the conversation later tonight? Another one, I want to support you, but I need you to trust that I'm here for you even when I'm not physically present. Constantly seeking reassurance can be draining for the both of us. Another one, I value our relationship and want to make sure we're on the same page. Can we discuss our expectations and boundaries regarding communication and spending time together? And then another last one here I wanted to share with you is, you know, I love spending time with you, but I also need time for my own interests and friendships. Let's make sure we're balancing our time together with time for ourselves. Okay, so as you can see, healthy relationships aren't about neglecting ourselves to make the other person happy. This is often what scares avoidance about relationships because they feel that they're going to be consumed by them. And it's really just about knowing what your needs are and finding healthy ways to support each other's differences. But it's also about having those hard conversations, right? Having those conversations around, you know, what it is that you're needing and finding that compromise. So the communication piece is really, really important for you to be in any relationship. You're gonna have to talk about these differences. You're gonna have to talk about your needs. And so this really requires, and we'll talk about this with the avoidant when we talk about the, how to communicate with avoidance. But if you have an avoidant attachment style, really learning how to be and sit with your uncomfortable emotions is going to be really, really important because you are going to avoid difficult conversations if you are not comfortable sitting and just being present with uncomfortable emotions, because hard conversations are going to bring up uncomfortable emotions. So really connecting to your feelings and changing your relationship to your feelings and learning to be just present with your feelings as opposed to running away from them will really allow you to be a better communicator. So again, right, with communication, you can really teach each other how to best support each other. And it's also a great filtering system to assess true compatibility, right? It's through communication that you can really assess like who is being respectful, who is being receptive. Are they meeting my needs? Are they compromising? Are they really respecting what it is that I want here? Are they making an effort? We can only really assess the compatibility of a relationship through communication and being vulnerable about what it is that we're feeling and needing. One last tip I wanted to share is when you're communicating with your loved one, rule of thumb is to approach it in this format. So you want to approach them in the form of, I feel blank because of blank. I need or I would appreciate blank. So for instance, I feel worried because I noticed you've been a bit standoffish with me lately. I would appreciate if you could talk to me about what you're needing right now so I can better support you. Okay, you can really feel the compassion that comes with this communication style. And you can really apply this statement for anything, right? You can really use this statement of communication or this form of communication with any relationship in your life. And this comes from the book Nonviolent Communication by Marshall Rosenberg. I know that I've talked about it before. It's a great book. When we can approach conversations from the stance of, you know, I feel rather than you are, it can really disarm the other person. It can feel less threatening and it can open up space for vulnerability and real connection. So your homework is to practice applying these tips into your relationships and being patient with yourself. Remember, you are learning a new language. And if you need more support on how to apply these tools, as well as many other helpful skills to cultivate secure relationships, you can learn more about attachment coaching with me, whether they are individual sessions or couple sessions, by visiting jessicadesilvacoaching.com or clicking the link in the show notes. So stay tuned for the following episodes where I will be sharing how to communicate with the other attachment styles. Thank you for listening to this podcast episode. If you enjoyed it, please rate it or leave a comment. Hearing your feedback just motivates me to create more content for you guys. I appreciate you so much, and I will catch you on the next episode. So in this episode, we are going to talk about how to communicate with someone who has an avoidant attachment style. So something I've noticed in spending time with friends and family who have an avoidant attachment style, as well as working with them in my coaching practice, is that they can be great at communicating and talking about situations and people and events that don't involve them in a personal way. However, when fingers are pointed at them, you will notice their more apparent reactions, and they're going to be very, very noticeable. And there's a few reasons for this, right? First off, avoidants feel really uncomfortable with confrontation and conflicts in general, because with these more sensitive experiences, it can bring up a lot of uncomfortable emotions, such as sadness, anger, you know, frustration, irritation. And avoidants never learned how to navigate these more uncomfortable emotions. They were often taught, you know, in their earlier relationship dynamics, that feeling these ways were silly. You know, they were unnecessary, they were weak, bad, dumb, useless, essentially ineffective. Often caregivers ignored their emotional experiences or they criticized it. So these individuals really learn to just kind of like suck it up, right? Which looks like, you know, suppressing emotions, dismissing them, ignoring them, denying them, deflecting them. And these coping mechanisms were actually very necessary to survive as a child. But what we only later learn in our more intimate relationship dynamics that require more of that emotional presence and availability is that these coping mechanisms become more of a hindrance than a benefit. All relationships will go through ebbs and flows, right? And we will experience conflict and hardship. Relationship, you know, practitioners and researchers have even concluded that we go through different stages in a relationship, one being the power struggle stage, right? That comes right after the honeymoon stage. And if we don't develop the skills to navigate these experiences in healthier ways, our relationships will slowly crumble. Yes, there are things we can do as a partner to communicate more effectively to our loved ones, you know, who have an avoidant attachment style. However, it's also their responsibility to overcome their attachment wounds and learn these relationship skills. So, you know, some things I help my clients who have an avoidant attachment style are, you know, connecting to and identifying their emotions. It seems really silly, but so many of us don't ever check in with ourselves and our feelings. The more you can acknowledge and be present with your emotions, the less intimidating and overwhelming they will feel. Also, identifying your needs. When you're having an emotional reaction, whether it feels very heightened or very numb, your body is telling you that it feels unsafe in the moment. So when you can identify the underlying needs, because all emotions guide us to a need, we feel like we have more control over the situation and therefore can approach it with more confidence and clarity. So when we gain this understanding of our internal experiences, we have a language to communicate our feelings and needs, which can better show others how to support us and vice versa. So avoidant attachments really just need that language, right? They're gonna feel you, if you're avoidant and you're listening to this, you are going to feel, much more confident in relationships when you can communicate what is going on for you. Secure attachment is a mindset, right? So it's just important to keep in mind that secure attachment is a mindset, and it requires a set of skills, right? It's a mindset and a set of skills that any of us can learn. Nobody was born securely attached. We learn to be this way through our environment and what was directly or indirectly modeled to us, which is great news because any of us can become securely attached if we are willing and consistent with implementing the skills necessary to make these shifts in our lives. So that is my spiel with doing your own work if you have an avoidant attachment style, because it's that crucial to this process. And now we'll talk about how to communicate with an avoidant attacher. So communicating with avoidant individuals can require a delicate approach at times, especially when it comes to conflict or your frustrations with them. Again, they often feel very helpless when it comes to uncomfortable emotions and may withdraw or avoid confrontation as a result. So first and foremost, be patient and understanding. Avoidant individuals may need more time to process information and feel comfortable expressing themselves. Be patient and avoid pressuring them to respond immediately. They often need time to process what they're saying and how they're feeling. So some statements you can say to reassure them through this process are, you know, I understand that this might be overwhelming for you. We can take it one step at a time. Or I value your need to think things through. Whenever you're ready to share your thoughts or your feelings, I'm here to listen. Or I respect your need to process information at your own pace. Let me know if there's anything I can do to support you during this time. All of these statements let them know that you are a safe person, right? It's all about creating a safe environment for avoidant attachers to feel and experience what is going on for them. Also, communicating in a non-threatening manner is very, very crucial. The go-to statement I always suggest, which comes from Marshall Rosenberg's book, Nonviolent Communication, is, I feel blank because of blank. I need or I would appreciate blank. So for example, I feel sad because you came home from work and didn't greet me. I would really appreciate if you could acknowledge me by saying, hello, sweetie, or giving me a kiss or a hug. So using the I feel statements are much less threatening than you statements. Which brings me to the next suggestion, which is to be clear and concise about what you need and what that looks like. Avoidance are often not that great at reading in between the lines or picking up on the subtle cues or hints. They often despise these forms of indirect communication because they would much rather just get to a solution than to try to figure out what you are trying to tell them. So just be direct. This is going to challenge you to be more assertive with your communication. Break down what it looks like to support you, right? Imagine as if you are teaching a third grader how to do something, right? The detail and the attention you give them as you are teaching them this new skill is really, really important. So for example, If you are looking for more connection in your relationship, you can describe it in this way, right? Connecting to me looks like not being on our phones while we're having dinner together, or having a conversation that doesn't involve work, or holding my hand while we watch a movie. You are essentially teaching them a new language, right? Your language, your love language, which brings me to my next suggestion, which is, be consistent with communicating your need. I often hear people say, you know, why should I tell them how to love me? They should just know. I shouldn't have to tell them more than once. And that's just such a sad and disappointing approach to take, because nobody operates like you, right? Nobody operates just like you, 100% like you. You are socializing, you're coexisting with a completely different human. And therefore, we absolutely need to be vocal about how we want to be treated and loved. This clear communication will also help us filter out those that are willing to support us and those that aren't. Okay, so it's scary, right? It's scary to be vulnerable. It's scary to be assertive about what we need. But what's worse is denying yourself and just going with the flow despite your dissatisfaction, right? We don't want that for you. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain by being your most authentic self and being vocal about your feelings and needs in a proactive way, right? Not a reactive, destructive way, but a proactive, responsible way. It really does show us who's available to meet us in this way and who isn't. And it's amazing. It's amazing to see how many people actually step up once they know what we need of them. I've worked with so many couples where, you know, more avoidant partners took such great leaps to focus on their growth and be the partner their significant other needed them to be. I also get a lot of inquiries where, you know, an avoidant attacher meets a wonderful person who's, you know, on this healing journey and doing this work to become their secure selves. And they just really want to step up their game, right? In order to have this person, in order to have a healthy relationship. So this is just such a beautiful testament to the impact that your healing and your authenticity has on the collective. Okay, so just keep it up. Be your most authentic self, because it gives people an invitation to step up their game as well. A few other suggestions for communicating with someone who has an avoidant attachment style are to, again, right, create a safe atmosphere, avoid criticism or judgment, and do your best to use that statement. I feel blank because of blank. I need or I would appreciate blank. Show genuine interest, right, in what they have to say. Practice active listening by, you know, maintaining eye contact, nodding, and paraphrasing to demonstrate understanding. Acknowledge their emotions and validate their experiences. They really didn't have that. So it's going to feel really good when they can actually begin seeing this, right? Seeing this kind of behavior and this kind of approach from you. Avoid dismissive responses or invalidating their feelings. Remember, they are learning to speak a new language, your love language. So be patient and encourage them, just as you would with someone who is learning to quite literally speak English for the first time, for example. It'll take practice and time to become fluent. They may stumble over words. They may get them wrong or not know what to say at times. This is normal. So please have grace with them and just make sure, right, that, again, they're making that effort. They're making that conscious effort to learn this language. Let them know that it is safe to express themselves and that you're there to support them and offer reassurance without pressure. Dismissive avoidants are often very solution focused. So rather than dwelling on problems, focus on finding solutions together. Frame discussions in a positive and constructive manner. Anxious attachments, if you are listening to this, this may require you to learn how to self-regulate. The more you can have control over your ruminating thoughts, right? That overthinking, that preoccupation, and you can come to solutions more quickly is going to be really, really important, as opposed to kind of beating a dead horse. We need to learn to let things go. And that requires learning ways to soothe our own nervous system. Because as you know, sometimes co-regulating and talking it out and over and over and over again, it doesn't always work. It often makes things worse. So we have to know how to let things go, how to surrender, and how to self-soothe, right? How can we kind of self-soothe and work these things within us? Another suggestion, I know you're not going to want to hear this, but give avoidance their space. Avoidance have a fundamental core need for space. This is not going to change, you guys. It's not going to go away. You can accept it, right? You can accept it or you can leave it. The last thing we want to do is re-traumatize our avoidant partner by creating an environment where they feel, you know, consumed and suffocated and misunderstood and neglected and unsafe. Avoidant individuals may need time alone to process their thoughts and recharge. So, you know, respect their need for solitude and communicate what that space looks like. It's important for avoidance to, you know, communicate with you as well when they take space and to reassure you that, you know, they're going to revisit the conversation or that they're just taking some time to process. So as an avoidant, if you're listening to this, you know, this can look like saying things like, along the lines of, you know, I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed at the moment. I need to take a step back and gather my thoughts. You know, I'll get back to you when I'm ready. Or I'm finding it difficult to express myself right now. I need some time to process what's going on. I hope you can understand. Or, you know, I'm really struggling right now to articulate my thoughts and my feelings. I need just a little bit of space to collect my thoughts. Please be patient with me. The goal in any relationship is essentially to just communicate what you're experiencing. It's really just to communicate what you're experiencing in a proactive way, right? There's the reactive way, which can be sabotaging to the relationship, but we just wanna learn how to communicate in proactive ways. Even if it's as simple as, I'm confused right now, right? I'm confused right now. At least you're communicating something, or I'm feeling overwhelmed right now, right? At least you're communicating what you're experiencing. This simple reassurance can create the intimacy that you're looking for in relationships, but it requires learning how to connect to your internal experiences so that you can express them more easily and openly with others, okay? And I know you're probably thinking, well, you know, what if I've tried? I've tried to communicate so many times and it just doesn't work. Obviously, you know, seeking help, learning ways, having a professional work with you if you're in a relationship. There's so many things avenues that you can take in order to better assess if this is a compatible relationship or not. But again, you have nothing to lose by being your most authentic self and communicating your feelings and needs in this proactive way. It's really, really going to show you who is right for you and who isn't. And if you see that your partner is really truly making an effort, right? They're making a conscious effort. They're trying to learn your language. Give them patience. People aren't going to learn and be fluent immediately, nor in days, nor in months. It's going to take time. So just as long as they are making that effort, you're noticing it, there's receptivity there, you're feeling connected, you're feeling supported for the most part, those are all really great signs. And if you're looking for support on how to implement these tools into your life in a very practical and authentic way, you can learn more about working with me one-on-one by visiting jessicadasilvacoaching.com or clicking the link in the show notes. And if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave me a rating, a review. Your feedback is so helpful and just inspires me to create more content for you. So thanks again, and I will catch you on the next episode.